Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Guest Thursday, and we have a very special guest from New Hampshire that Kathy will introduce. Kathy and I had shared this before. We had tried to actually tape this last week when we had a major snowstorm in Denver, and poor Noelle was sharing beautiful things, and unfortunately, it wasn't recording. Nothing was recording. Went blank, you know, and so we said, well, let's try it again. So here we are, and Kathy, why don't you introduce Noelle, and then I would love to hear her story.
Absolutely. So I am so excited to have my friend Noelle on here. I feel like she's someone that I have known for many, many, many years, yet the reality is that I've probably known her 6 or 7 months now, right? But she is one of those people I met, met her at Woodsy Stock, Dunkel's fundraiser for his mansion in Lydia's House of Hope, and such a beautiful, beautiful person that every time there are so many people I tell that I want them to meet her, because when you're with Noelle, you sense the presence of God. She is one of those people that just oozes Jesus. And so I'm excited. There's so many cool things that God has done in her story, and is just, she's a beautiful example of hearing God's voice and stepping out in faith and obedience and confidence that she hears. And I'm excited for her to share everything today that God has done, and you'll fall in love with this beautiful soul just the way I have. So
Noelle, welcome. Tell us a little bit, where are you located right now? I know you're up in the woods in New Hampshire somewhere.
Yes, I am. Well, thank you for this privilege. And Kathy, I feel the same way about you. I could have said all of those things. So you're a dear friend. Yes, I am located in Deering, New Hampshire, tiny little town in southern New Hampshire, and I live and work, well, I live and serve with my husband and our three kids at His Mansion Ministries, which is a year-long recovery and discipleship program, and it's on a working farm. Most people who serve here live here, so it's very much kind of healing in the context of community, and
beautiful stories of restoration that come out of there too.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yes.
What's the age level typically that is attends and comes?
Yeah, so it's typically ages 18 to 35. Sometimes we take people into their early 40s. It just depends. But yeah, so it's, people coming with all types of life controlling issues. Can be addiction, eating disorders, can just be kind of debilitating depression, right, and anxiety, right, that makes it hard to function. So I have been here since 2013, and I met my husband, Courtney, here. He's about to move into the executive director role, which is such a privilege. And I worked here full time as a counselor and teacher, and now just very part time as a facilitator for the inner healing prayer class for the women. And other than that, I also serve on 24/7 Prayer USA, and I'm a part of several of their teams. And other than that, then I take care of my three babies full time. Owen, who's 5, and Lily, who is, well, she'll be 4 tomorrow, and Simon, who will be 3 in May. So right. I'm a rich
busy household.
Yeah.
3, 4, 5.
But beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
Well, I think as we, get to know you a little bit, why don't you share, how did you personally come to know Christ in your life?
Yes, I would love to share that. So the Lord's story in my life is really all about, if I could sum it up, God's faithfulness to me in the midst of and in spite of my unfaithfulness to him and others' unfaithfulness to me. That is how I would sum up his story in my life. And I'm sorry if I get emotional whenever I talk about him, it happens. So I'm very much in love with Jesus. So I grew up in a very loving Christian family. My mom, you know, I still to this day, she prays every morning. She's a strong prayer warrior, and I'm very grateful for her faithful prayers throughout my life.
What town were you in when you grew up?
Yeah, so I grew up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's where I grew up, yes. In the suburbs, outside the city. And my family is Christian, and my parents, you know, did their best to teach me about the Lord and instill faith in me. And me and my brother, my older brother, Doug, who is also I'm close with, and he's a wonderful man of God, too. And he's raising his family in Chicago right now. Mm. But yeah, so I throughout, you know, my childhood and whatnot, I would say, you know, with your own personalities and your own insecurities, you kind of develop your own theology, mm-hmm. right? Like your own understanding of who God is. And based on what I experienced and how I saw life, really my perception of him got pretty distorted. I think I was taught in some arenas a theology that was really unhelpful to me, but I also took on a lot about God that was just pretty wrong. And so I was really afraid of him. Yeah. I kind of was like, oh, I'll just kind of do what I need to do to appease you, spend time with you, sort of. And then I can go on with my life, kind of a thing. I wanted to know him, but I was pretty terrified of him. And so various things happen, right? You know, as you're growing up. And then I was off to college, and praise God, I got into Wheaton College in Illinois. That's where I went for my undergrad and my master's degree.
Rich actually spent some time in Chicago as well.
Yeah.
Oh, he's familiar with all that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm very familiar. Yep.
Okay. So, and that was just such a beautiful fit for me. The Lord used my time there tremendously. But when I got there, I didn't even realize how distant I was from the Lord until one of my very good friends died in a drowning accident while he was serving at a summer camp. This was the summer after my freshman year. And, you know, in the midst of that was really, my grandmother had died that summer, so I was already kind of grieving that. But this death, because there was a lot of questions around it too, and how it happened, it brought up a lot of grief from my past that I had never really dealt with or worked through. And or even knew I needed to, right? Mm-hmm. And so I kind of went into a pretty despairing, depressed place. And I was talking to a dear professor of mine who has, you know, remained a close friend and mentor. I owe so much of my walk with Jesus to him. You know, professors at Wheaton, at least in my experience, really care about you. And he definitely did. And I was talking with him about it and just where I was at. And I was like, I don't know what I believe, you know, who is the Lord? Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, you should ask him, you should tell him about these questions you have. And I looked at him and I was like, wait, I'm allowed to do that? Like, I'm allowed to be honest with the Lord?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was like, yes, you are. It was a profound new concept for me.
So freeing, right?
So freeing. I had no idea, but I still was pretty scared to do it, right? These perceptions of God that were just so, so wrong. And, you know, he took me through Psalms and, you know, was like, yeah, lamenting's a thing, you know? And so anyway, he also directed me towards St. Ignatius's spiritual exercises, which is really all about contemplative and imaginative prayer and imagining Jesus in the Gospels and kind of walking along with him in his life. So basically I just kind of went for it, and I was like, all right, I'll what do I have to lose, you know? And I said to the Lord, I said, look, if you are real and if you are who I know you to be, I pretty much hate you. So if you are not, you need to show me who you are. And he did. He was very merciful. And over the course of the next, I would say, 6 months, you know, you start out with like sitting there. I think everybody can relate to this. You sit down and you try to be quiet, and immediately you're just flooded. And you're like, okay, that had to have been at least 20 minutes. And you look at your watch, a minute. And he gave me the grace to just keep going. And before I knew it, I was spending hours in this little prayer room in our dorm, just spending time with him. And he took me, the shepherd just took me through an inner healing process, revealing my sin to me that I had never really seen, really. You know, I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was terrible, but I didn't really know it for myself. And really showed to me what his death on the cross meant, and then helped me grieve what I had been through, walked me through forgiveness of the people who had hurt me in my life, and showed me who the Father actually is. So much better than I
love
thought.
That.
So basically I was like, okay, if this is who you are, I'm in. You have me. So then, you know, the next several years we're just learning to walk that out, and I was starting to hear his voice more, and just really sensing him with me. And then, you know, what am I going to do with my life comes up, and I really kept sensing this call to ministry, and particularly walking with people who are broken through their pain, and walking with them to Jesus and bringing them to Jesus. And you know, a good friend who used to work here as the external relations director, he came and spoke at Wheaton about his mansion, and I sort of followed him around campus because I wanted to hear more. And eventually then I got to, you know, my graduate school year, and I was asked if I wanted to come and interview for a role here. And I did, and I just fell in love, fell at home immediately with the place, and shockingly got the job. So I came here in 2013 and met my husband Courtney here, like I said. And it Courtney and I frequently say we can't believe our lives. It's such a privilege to do what we're doing and to see broken lives restored through the hope of Jesus Christ. So it's a privilege. And and then just over the last year or so, I got invited by 24/7 Prayer, started to get pretty involved with them, and they invited me onto the team. And that organization is really about mobilizing churches and communities to pray more.
Mm-hmm. When you go back during your time where you were healing up, describe that a little bit more in terms of what did that look like? How did you experience going from, you know, discouragement, not knowing who really God was? You actually thought him to be angry at you and unhappy with you,
harsh
with you. What did that look like as you walked with him and you started to literally have a change of heart, a change of soul, and a new understanding? What were some of the things that you did? How did that occur? So people can understand, it is a process. There's a little bit of a false, you know, teaching around deliverance that, well, if I just pray over you, you're delivered. Well, it's got to be filling up with the life of God, you know. So how did you, what did you do that you started to be filled up with the life of God?
Yeah, that's a great point, Rich. I do believe that there are people who can get delivered right on the spot from things. I do believe that. I've seen it be more of a process for a lot of people, like you're saying, and that's what I went through. I would say a part of it was really, you know, I came to a point too where I was like, I don't want just these thoughts about you, God. Like, I don't want to just have these thoughts that all day long I'm like, remember, God is this. Remember, God is this. Remember, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, I want to interact with you. Mm-hmm. If you are a real being in three persons, I want to interact with you and I want to know you are real and I want to be in relationship with you. And I didn't realize how eager God is to answer that. Mm-hmm. Of course he is, right? He wants that too. He wants this communion with us. Yes. And this abiding, I know, as you guys so beautifully talk about, and your ministry is all about this learning to abide with him because mm-hmm. he is real and he wants to be known by us, right? And vice versa. And so really it was a lot of time spent, you know, I was like, I'm not leaving this prayer room until I encounter you tonight. Some of it was stubbornness. Some of it was stubbornness. And then it was just a lot of his grace and mercy to reveal himself. He would all of a sudden scriptures would come into my mind and I would go to them and he would answer and it would be a characteristic about himself that was in there that I knew, but he was showing it to me in real time. He was telling me, this is who I am and this is who I want you, what the part of my character I want you to focus on tonight. I'm meek, right? So he takes me to the Isaiah passage, which I can't exactly remember where it is in Isaiah. It's one of the suffering servant passages, but about, you know, like a lamb led to the slaughter, he did not open his mouth. And so I would
Isaiah 53.
Thank you. Imagine, you know, Jesus and it was really a lot through imaginative prayer, learning the Lord created my imagination. You know, I thought this was all wrong to even try to imagine him was wrong. And he was like, no, I've created your imagination. Your imagination is corrupt now because of sin, but I can restore it. I can redeem it. And as you use it and I reveal myself to you through it, you know, it can become more pure. And so this imagining Jesus throughout my time with him, I mean, we're talking several hours every night. I mean, I can remember over time, it was like all day. I couldn't wait till get out of class, get out of swim that. Practice and get back to the prayer room but it didn't start out like that. It really took time and asking and seeking and knocking over and over and me saying, what are my wrong perceptions of you? Show them to me. And one would pop up in my mind and he would be like, let's deal with that now. Talk to me about it. Take me to the memory, you know, and I would talk through a memory with him. Mm-hmm. And then I think a lot of times too, I tell women here this a lot. I think we rob God of the opportunity to reveal experientially his compassion to us because we stay away from our pain.
Right.
We avoid our pain, right? Mm-hmm. And really it's when we say, you know, I'm going to enter into this pain and I'm going to trust that you're going to meet me in it and you're going to come. And when we enter into it, he comes. Yeah. He comes near. He draws so near. He can't help himself. And then he revealed his compassion. He revealed his grieving heart to me over and over again. And so I learned to trust him. I was like, wow, this actually does break your heart that right. I went through this.
When you received you said that, you know, you got these verses, then you spent time in them. What did you do as you received it? Then how did you spend time in him? And then how did he demonstrate that to you? That it wasn't just theology, but it was actually him and real for you to experience.
Yeah. So I think he probably does this a little different for each of his kids, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I love that too. He knows how we hear from him. He knows how we communicate, and so he communicates in a way that we will understand. I know I've listened to you guys before, and I know you both have said that on various occasions, and I wholeheartedly agree with that. I've seen that in the lives of many women here. I think for me, in that, he would reveal a passage. I would go to that passage. I would read it. I kind of took to heart the Lectio Divina way, and I would read it slow, three times.
Yeah.
With pauses in between, and just hold out my hands and say, what, show me who you are in this. And usually I would get an image of him in some way. And especially when I brought a memory to him, and I would start speaking out the memory to him and saying, where were you in this memory. Show me this meekness or your compassion for me in this memory. And he speaks to me a lot in images. And so I would usually receive an image that showed me his heart in that particular way that lined up with that passage. Sometimes it was, you know, as simple as that. Sometimes I wouldn't quite get an answer right away, and it would be unfolding over the course of the next few days or weeks, you know. But that tended to be how it was. Every now and then he would just be like, just keep chewing on this passage and trust that it's true of me, you know. So it depended. It was different each time. But by and large, I would say that was the process that he took me through.
So I was abiding in the word and then talking to God and letting him talk to you. And as you made a statement about, I learned to trust God, and that's, and I know you're involved in that. We'll talk about that in our next session. People come, you know, to the His mansion, they're broken. And the brokenness is at the root of it is that they don't trust anybody, particularly God. So when you say you learn to trust God, what happened as you started to realize, I actually now have a trust in who God is, what he's saying to me, and it flipped from not being trusting God to beginning to be trusting God, and then more so. How did that work for you as you built that trust?
Yeah, I think as he started to reveal that he really is who he says he is in his word in an experiential way to me. You know, I started not testing in a bad way, practicing it, I would say, right? Like throughout my daily walk then, you know, okay. You say that you are not angry at me, right?
Right.
I sinned today, so I'm gonna try coming back to you a lot quicker than I normally would. and he would obviously every time receive me very quickly and remind me of the prodigal son story. I think it really was over the course. I feel like this whole process really then took about 10 years, right? And even more, really, until now. I'm still learning how to trust him.
We all are, right?
how to trust his heart towards me. I can still fall back into old lies, old ways of thinking, old beliefs about myself. And he is quick to remind me of the truth. And so I think it's been a process of even, you know, okay, I'm going to trust that I'm getting this word from you and that you want me to go talk to this person, but I don't want to do it, so I'm not going to do it. and then I feel a lot of conviction about it. And then somehow this person winds up right in my vicinity again a few days later. And I'm like, okay, all right, I'm still not going to do it. And then, you know, his mercy in giving me more opportunities, and then me being like, okay, maybe I will. I will talk to this person. I'll go pray for this person. And then just filled with his delight, you know, and filled with his just appreciation for him choosing me to even get to talk to that person, right? And having that privilege, and then seeing the Lord use it. But I think it's, you know, it's a process for sure. But yeah, I mean, when it comes to people here, there's no doubt. I think when you've been hurt by so many people over and over, and, you know, the people who come here, they're some of the most courageous people I've ever met in my life. And I've throughout my time serving with and working with them and walking alongside them, I have so many times said to myself, I would have done the exact same thing. I would have fallen into the exact same thing you did if I had gone through what you went through. You know, there's just such compassion when you really enter into what people have been through. But yeah, it when you have mistrust with other people, it's naturally going to connect with the Lord and your trust in him. And so it is a process of as they're learning to trust people here, and they're also then trying to figure out, all right, what you say about God, is that really real? Is that really real for me? And kind of helping them walk through their own inner healing process and then encouraging them. I can't tell you how many times I say what my professor said. You should talk to God about that. Let him know your question. Let him go lament to him for a while.
Yeah.
And he meets them and in such profound ways that are undeniable for them. And so I think seeing other people's trust building with him then builds my trust in him more and more.
Yeah. And it seems like what you're saying is that it's really about the relationship and the dialogue as you're going through life and you're talking to God regularly, particularly out of the word and out of your discussion. Then he speaks back to you and says, no, you're I know that you were feeling bad today, but I welcome you. Let's go. And then you start to feel it. You see him perform things that he says he's going to do. But it's really, it seems to me it's rooted in your willingness and then your experience of that regular dialogue with God, that he's working to encourage you, stay with me. You'll find out who I am. Just stay with me. Because if he wasn't talking to you, it would be hard to do that.
Yes.
And it sounds like you just said, I can't go anywhere unless you're going to talk to me. And God says, okay, I'll talk to you.
pretty much. I'm pretty needy for him. I'm frequently like, I need your reassurance again.
That's
please
it.
Tell me you love me, you know?
Yeah.
But I've also had my bratty moments, Rich. You know, I very much be like, you didn't answer my prayers and I didn't get my way. So I'm not talking to you for a while. And I've had those moments and man, I've inflicted the pain of being far from him on myself many a time. And I am like, oh, this is excruciating. Because once you taste it, once you taste that communion with him, it's excruciating to go without it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there literally is nothing in this life that satisfies like communion with you.
Yeah.
So I try not to be a brat as much.
When I hear that, he says, well, if I was you, I would come back sooner than later. But if you want to stay away, go ahead. But if I was you, I'd come back.
Yeah. It's funny as you talk about that, I'm reminded of the term. I don't know if you guys have ever heard this, the term surrender intervals. And as we grow in intimacy with God, those surrender intervals begin to shrink, right? Where it used to be, we would fight him for longer periods of time. And you picture it, this is the math teacher in me, sorry guys, but picture the sine wave, the whole little wavy thing. And the amplitude of that, it would shrink the space between the next wave, because I'm learning that I need to get back to him more quickly. And so my surrender intervals shrink. The longer I walk with him, the tighter those become, so that the time between when I'm being a brat and when I run back to his feet shrinks over time and
That's
time
right.
again.
Yeah, and do it faster. Well, thank you so much, Noelle, for the beautiful expression of what it meant to walk with God and receive the beauty of God in your life by just having a heart to, even though you didn't know it, and all you did is search it, and God says, I'll show you. And then like you said, it's unique to each of us how he communicates, but he will.
Yes.
And then he'll be faithful not only to tell you, but to show you. And so that's kind of fun. And we can see the joy in your countenance that the transformation has occurred. We want to, we're going to bring Noelle for next session. We want to hear more about his mansion and the ministry there and how she helping others learn the same thing that she learned. And really all of us are called to learn this. If we can, and we can help others learn it, we'll be fulfilling God's kingdom purpose, And so we want to learn about that a little bit. So Noelle,
we also do want to share on that next episode. So you guys need to tune into this one. There is a beautiful, beautiful story of how God led Noelle to begin a house of prayer in Southern New Hampshire that goes so well, Rich, with all that we've been talking about hearing from God. And so I think letting the audience hear the story of how God has created this thing and just invited her to be hands and feet in making it happen is going to be encouraging to everyone. And I think just a true visual of exactly, you know, ways that God speaks so creatively, and what it looks like to step out in faith in trusting the hearing too. Yeah. Right.
Let's go ahead and hit that the first thing. So Heavenly Father, thank you for Noel, and what a wonderful story of life, that life can hit us and we can have different negative perceptions, particularly even as a believer, and wonder, is it really true? And you say, well, come and see. I'll show you. And she did, and you did. What a beautiful story, and we can see the transformed life, and we know that she's now having great joy in walking with you because she did learn it. And we pray that all of us would learn that. And we bless her now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Noel. We look forward to having you back next week. And thank you to the listeners for joining us. Be sure to tune in next week and hear the rest of this story. If you have any questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com, and we'll see you next time.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.